such an amazing moment to worship this morning. And thank you for the presence that you just bring. I just want to move so please continue to ask me great words. And we meet with you, Lord Jesus, as you come. And establish this, take away the faith, establish it in us. Take away all the thoughts that might distract us from listening. Day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Karl Barth, when he wrote about this, he said, when we find the disciples sitting in this room with all the doors locked and in the darkness, they were like candles on a perch after a thunderstorm. It's quite the image if you just look at that. Hands on a bridge after a thunderstorm, or maybe like us when the trees come down after the rainstorm this week. And I was thinking to myself, what would be the one word that I would use for this group of people hiding in this room? And I thought of the word disillusionment. It's a big word. It kind of speaks of that moment where you've been disappointed so many times over and over that you've landed in that place where when you look around you, it's just all dark and there's no light. Just disillusioned, helpless, hopeless, feeling that every door you try and open, all that happens is you just run face first into that door. That's where we find them. That's the place where they are. Just a few days before this, they were excited and they were ready for action, ready to go do so many things. And then it just all just fell apart. Jesus was taken prisoner and he was nailed to a cross. And he died. And according to them, right now, he's all in a grave, just the body lying there dead. And they're sitting locked behind closed doors, silent on the outside. Disappointed, helpless, hopeless refugees welcome. And they lock the door. And then the unintended comes into our lives, even in those disillusioned, disappointed, hopeless lives, those dark moment lives, he doesn't start the way that we usually would start. We usually would say, give the answer, oh, don't worry, Hank, everything's going to work out fine, and you'll be all right in the end. Don't worry, God's got a plan with all of this, and God's going to succeed through all of this. That's not the way he starts, because he knows it's a bunch of baloney. Right now it is, because it's hard. Don't tell me it's easy. I go to Bradley and say, hey, Bradley, it's just all cool and fine. Right now, Bradley says, it's not cool and fine. Am I right, Gary? My arm's in a gap, and I want to play, and I can't. My foot's in a cast, and I want to go sit and I want to do this. For me, people say, hey, Bradley, God's got a purpose for this. Bradley says, because God might have done it in a different way. That's what Jesus does. He makes a promise. My peace will be with you. Let me explain this peace thing to you. He lifts up a hand and says, peace, broken hand. You know where this comes from? The people of those days when they would walk and they would see someone coming, they would greet them. They would lift up their right hand and say, peace. You know why? Why then is the hand who carried the sword? Why then is the hand with which you hurt? When they pick up the hand and they open the hand, they say, I come in peace. I don't mean you any harm. Peace be with you. When Jesus stands, and he comes to each one of us where we are and in our place where we are and in our needs, he shows this broken hand that was crucified. And the reason of the sword to cut. The reason of the thunder and lightning to hurt. There is no fire from the sun. There is forgiveness. There is a promise that these broken hands will touch you with your heart to be touched. We could have done this. We sang that beautiful song, thank you, Scott, for choosing that song this morning. Come to the altar. Look at you. Mark 8, Mark 9, Mark chapter 10. I was telling you about all of this stuff that was going to happen. You knew all about this. And now look at you. You're a mess. Thought I could use you. You're worthless. Done for. I'm done with you. What's he doing? He actually looks at you. And he says, peace be with you. Hear what he says. I love you so much, even in the mess of your life. I love you when, like Peter, you deny me. I love you when, like Thomas, you've abdicated already. I love you when, like Mark, you're the one who just ran away when I needed you the most. Please. My heart when I thought when he was born, what was God's words? Choir of angels singing. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. For those in whom God delights. And now after the grave, who is the one who sings that song? The Son of God himself. And he sings it to all my ears. He stands in front of me and he says, what do you mean? Gives me his peace. Where have you fallen, Aubrey? And he gives me his peace. What are you struggling with? And he gives me his peace. Because it's a promise he made way back in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, 27, you know it well. My peace I give to you. But the peace like the word world gives, that my peace. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. But look at this translation. I love this. Look at this promise, Jesus says. I'm leaving. But I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you the way you used to be left. Because how does the world leave you? They abandon you. They turn your backs on you. They leave you hating, and they just go away. They're not leaving you the way that the world leaves you, feeling abandoned and bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my promise and my gift for you, Jesus. Can you believe that? Can you take that also when things are falling apart and you're locked behind closed doors and it's hard and life is difficult? What happens when we allow that peace to come into our lives? What happens? Can you see what happens to the disciples? Because as he says peace, he shows his hand and he shows his side. The Lord Jesus says, peace be with you. He also says a little more to them. He says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So you have a choice. You can sit here in your little dark room and feel sorry for yourself and be worthless. Or you can take my promise and you can go into this world and you can go tell them about it. That comes in my life, in your life, when I come into your life. That's your choice. But I'm sending you. My Father said, go, and I went, and look what happened. I want you to go just as I went. I'll do that. That's your choice. There's a slide. Stephen Potts wrote a book called Why Good Things Happen to Good People. Go read it. It's a positive book. Makes you feel good. Tells a story in there of when he was a little boy. He would often get into these little moments where he was upset with everything and life was miserable and he was rebounding and all this stuff. And he said his mother would always say to him, Stephen, go do something good for someone else and see what will happen. And he said he would often go and just take the lawnmower, go cut the neighbor's grass. And when he was done cutting the neighbor's grass, he felt so good about himself. As the Father sends me, please go and do my work and see what will happen to you when you do my work. And I spoke about the doing last week, so I'm not going to give you the full sermon. I'm going to do again. But I did go home and I did ask the question myself to this God. I said, and sometimes I just be and I say, that's all you need. Just what can I do? And many of us will say that, right? So I just want to say to you, what would Abraham say if you said that? It's just me. What would Moses say if he said, well, it's just me? What would Rahab say if he said, oh, it's just me? What would Esther say if I said it's just me? What would that little boy, we don't even know his name, who only had five loaves and two fish, what would he say if it's Thank you.